Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
And welcome back. Today, I have my dear friend with me. This is a pre-recorded podcast. You'll be hearing this a couple days after I record it. My dear friend, Ben Weir. How you doing, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing, man?
Good, good. We were talking off air. It's been an interesting day, to say the least. But what's been new with you, dude?
Honestly, man, I am just I'm working a lot. I have my podcast a couple days a week, and then baby coming in November, so getting ready for that. Trying to write music here and there. I'm also trying to like fix political infrastructure of the Libertarian Party because it's a mess right now. There's a lot of shit going on. I could give you just a whole list of stuff, man. Like it's just a complete mess in all these other areas of my life. My life is fine. It just seems like everywhere else is just very chaotic right now.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel that way too. I was just on your show probably a month or two ago.
Yeah, and, about that, yeah.
Yeah, for me, life has been very, very busy, but very, very good. It seems like a lot of positive developments, at least for me. Like, hey, Common Crowns wrote a whole ton of new music. The podcast for me is going steady. I'm getting closer with a lot of good people. Work is going all right. So kind of lots of irons in the fire. But man, when we kind of talked a little bit about the Libertarian Party stuff, I guess we might as well start there. It's been interesting, to say the least. I'll tell you my outsider's perspective, and I'm curious your perspective from more so the inside and what you think of the optics and how it's going. To me, it really looks like, and once again, no shade to Angela. I like Angela. I consider her a good friend. She's been on my show 4 or 5 times now. I'd gladly have her back on. But really, and this isn't just her. I'm sure there's other, you know, hands, other players and stuff like that. It really looks like they're trying to make the best of a bad situation, which, let's be honest, Chase Oliver is a bad situation for the Libertarian Party. Nobody... He's not lighting fire under anybody's ass. Mike Termott, I don't have any personal problems with him. Just he doesn't seem to read the room very well. Sure, so it looks like, it looks like what they've done is say, hey, we're going to basically throw the Libertarian Party and all, you know, like dissident left winger credibility, which there's a lot of good people in that sphere. And I understand where people may disagree with that, but
yeah,
it looks like we're throwing all that credibility out the window and the Libertarian Party out the window to softly endorse Trump because Chase Oliver is a horrible candidate, which is an understandable position if you're getting some kind of leverage. But I'm going to be honest, I don't believe we're going to get diddly fuck out of this whole deal. I literally believe that this is pretty much just saying, hey, we're going to throw this Trump's way and we're going to hope that he gives us table scraps, even though I honestly don't think he will. And I don't think he has any intention to or capability to. So I know it's a long monologue, but go ahead.
No, I've been keeping a list of stuff that we've been supposedly promised by, like, not just like national leadership of our parties. Like, I promise this is going to happen. It's going to look better because this is going to happen. I keep a list of all these stupid lies that Trump is saying. That's like, oh, I'm going to do this when I'm elected. Dude, I heard it all 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was saying he's going to like cut, like, what was it? DACA or whatever. Out in the immigrant college fund. He was gonna build the wall and close the border, and like this is just all politics. It's always politics, and inside the Libertarian Party it's the same thing. You just have like two sides of propaganda that are always happening, always trying to make the other side and paint them in a bad light, so it's really hard to actually get a full scope of the picture. I am kind of someone that's in the middle. I hear from both sides. I don't necessarily talk to both sides. I do have like my favorites, but you know, at the end of the day, like I'm very glad that the takeover happened because the messaging beforehand sucked. It was horrible. Right. I just don't think there's a lot of things that were probably handled correctly since then. And I mean, that's why I tried to be on the national committee. It's not like I can do much because I'm an alternate, but I at least have like, I can interject my opinions. And for the most part, people on both sides do respect my opinion, even if they disagree with me, because I show them for the most part with respect as well. So I think that there's just like, that's the one thing that we suck at is like, we definitely suck at talking to normal people, but like just within our own faction of libertarianism, I do think that both sides, we will never get along, because both sides actively think that the other side are just like going to commit, their policies are just nothing but NAP violation.
So when you say both sides, just to be clear for the audience and for myself, because I think I know what you're referring to, but I want to make sure that we're clear. We're talking more like the Mises Caucus faction and then kind of like the old, people would say the Loser Brigade, but
yeah.
I don't want to say that like I've grown soft or like love these people or anything like that, but like I think we need to kind of call the spade a spade, if you will, and say that like these people are really good at running the party, whereas the people
They have the infrastructural knowledge to do it,
and right, and it seems like
don't.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that I've seen it since the takeover. It seems like everybody was kind of came to the gates ready to fight, but then as soon as you know the fight came to kind of happen, everybody was like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. And then now it seems like we're kind of flailing to find people to kind of step up to the plate. Like there were a whole ton of people that dropped out and just kind of went their own way, did their own stuff, which I understand it's not easy, but like that's what you signed up for. But
honestly, that's how it is. You know, one side's kind of playing catch up, because I do think that the people who have been removed from office since, like of their positions, I do think that they like did some things to intentionally make the party in worse shape before they left to keep them in bad spot, which sucks. But kind of what I was like getting at before too, is that like both sides basically see the other ones and their policies and ideas as potential NAP violations, which like that's the whole center and premise of the Libertarian Party, is like the non-aggression principle. They think that like, you know, having private borders is injustice because, you know, people deserve to move freely. And then on the other side, they're like, well, like we definitely shouldn't allow parents to, it doesn't like, we need to have some kind of like autonomy, but we also need to be able to like protect our kids. And we need to protect children. Like abortion's not okay. And like, you know, we can't be okay with parents that are out there, you know, choosing to give their kids, you know, gender reassignment surgery or hormones and stuff like that. Like it's all child abuse. I mean, in my eyes, and this is like, this goes, this feeds right into that, is like, I do see that kind of stuff as a NAP violation. So there's certain things that I definitely stand for on my principles that I can't support people who believe in that stuff. And I will actively try to keep those people away from positions of power, or, and I won't promote them for roles like presidency or if they're running for office. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So. And I largely agree. Actually, I do completely agree, because, you know, it, to me, it's children can't consent, right? I mean, a child cannot decide what gender it is because they don't have full, we don't respect them and treat them as full autonomous adults, because they're not, they aren't capable of the same rational thought, dialogue, and understanding arbitrary categories and stuff like that, like you or I might be. So when you have people that are saying that like, okay, well, kids can decide this kind of stuff, it's like, no, they really can't. Like this is kind of a big deal. I mean, we're talking about like foundational stuff too. I mean, like if we can't decide how we're supposed to kind of like mold a society around children, then like what are we doing here? I mean, that's the most important group of people in the entire world is fucking children. And if we can't agree on that, then we kind of have a problem.
Yeah. Like we need definitely to be protecting our kids. Like this is the next generation. We're already leaving them in bad hands with the debt, with like all this stuff that's going on. Right. And like the last thing I want to do is be in a world that is just so desensitized that we don't care about children at all. We don't care about babies at all. We don't care about their future well-being. And we just keep burying a hole financially and leaving them in bad shape. Like I'm not optimistic about that side of the future. The only way I would be optimistic is if, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years or so, we did see some kind of like collapse and break apart. So there's more like, you know, separation from the federal government. I just don't see that happening. I think that's too maybe too optimistic, but I don't know. I'm not a political analyst. I just talk about it on my podcast sometimes. So
no, dude, I totally get it. And I feel the same way. I used to make bold predictions when I first started doing this, and maybe you can consider that more my Dunning-Kruger curve, where I thought I knew a lot. And then now I'm like, no, I really don't know anything. And that's kind of why I'm like, hey, you know, why don't you come to my podcast? Because you know what you're talking about. I don't. I'm kind of a retard. If you ask me to fix a car, we're in good hands. But like, if you need me to explain delicate, intricate tax policy or something like that, like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm not your guy. But this kind of touches on a subject I wanted to talk to you about as well, is the whole Christian nationalism thing. I was listening to your podcast with Alex Bernardo, who I've listened to him a few times. I listened to him debate, who was it? Dave Casey. That's right, Dave Casey.
Oh, yeah.
On whether libertarians should support Donald Trump or Chase Oliver. And I really liked him on that, and I liked him on your show as well. And he considers himself a Protestant Christian, which I believe, well, Protestant is a denomination of Christianity. And you consider yourself a Christian as well, non-denominational, but like, this seems to be a bigger topic amongst the dissident right, if you will, which I agree with them on some stuff, but it almost seems like they're just kind of making their own in-group circle jerk, kind of like libertarians do, where it's like, oh, well, you're not white enough, so you're not part of the dissident right, or you have 2% Jew in you, so you can't be part of the dissident right. Like, I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but just kind of some of the stuff that was coming to mind when I think about Christian nationalism and the dissident right. So what do you think of like those two camps? I was just going to go for Christian nationalism, but like the dissident right and the whole Christian nationalist kind of sensations.
I heard, I think most of that, you were breaking up a little bit, but, so yeah, it's really breaking up pretty bad, but, I think I'm getting what you're saying. So, what do I think about these two like factions, like basically like of Christian nationalists and,
the dissident
or
right.
Protestant? Is that kind of, okay. So like, I kind of think that there's like a natural pipeline there. That feeds from one into the other. And I do think that like a lot of like ultra religious people, they develop this sense of trust and hierarchy within the church. And it automatically makes them want to, also enact that same hierarchy and structure and keep that structure. And, you know, they have a lot more, I guess trust and respect in authority. Maybe not trust is the word, but a lot of them will look at, you know, certain politicians obviously in a better light. Like Donald Trump for some reason is just worshipped by a lot of the more right wing religious people. Mm-hmm. I think that like the thing is that these sides both play into each other, because on one side you have the, you know, the super, super like, you know, left wing and right wing, but they're both, start going down this like nationalist like view where like, you know, and I'm all for patriotism. I think there's like a distinction between patriotism and nationalism. Yeah. I think patriotism is like a good thing. You should be happy and proud of where you live. And you should like want to like, and maybe like the definitions have changed over time, but nationalism now, I do think there's like blind worship of the state. And I'm against nationalism because I'm not a statist. I'm an anarchist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't get behind nationalism in any form, not even if it was like libertarian nationalism. But then you have people on the right and they really want to see, the Bible talks about like, you know, the future looking like, you know, they like throughout history, they've been expecting some kind of political leader or Jesus to basically come down and like just run the world and its politics essentially.
Yeah.
So there's some people that believe that that's still going to happen. Like, you know, he's going to establish, God's going to establish this like world order. That's nothing.
Sounds
but,
like Mormonism
Christian.
Almost.
Well,
hello everybody to whoever is listening, whenever you're listening. I'm making this video today to ask you for a favor, not for me personally, but for somebody that I consider a dear friend, an American patriot, and somebody that I just think is a all-around good person. My friend Don the Pleb was taken into custody for the crime of going to the event that happened on January 6th. He did not enter the building. He didn't commit any crimes. He was simply there holding a camera, and our government had found out that he was there, so decided to take him into custody. And thankfully, he is out, but he does have a legal battle ahead of him. So what I want you to do is go to givesendgo.com/Don the Pleb. That is givesendgo.com/DonThePleb. Like I said, Don is a good friend of mine. He does very, very good work and just an honest guy who's worked his ass off his entire life, former military as well. Very knowledgeable, very, very friendly, down to earth, soul to the earth kind of guy. So it would mean a lot to me if you guys could help him out. And I know it would mean a lot to him and his family as well if you could help him out in these challenging times. Regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, I think we can all agree that somebody who was just simply at the Capitol building on January 6th just recording videos should not be in any kind of trouble. And this is absolutely ridiculous, and we should do everything we can to help him out. I donated, so I would appreciate it if you did too. One more time, givesendgo.com/DonThePleb. Thank you. Technology is absolutely fantastic when it works. So I think we were around about Christian nationalism and talking about the dissident right, where in case you didn't catch some of it, which I don't think you did, but just like it seems like the dissident right is getting into like this circle jerk of if you're 2% Jewish or not 100% white Aryan race, then you can't be part of the dissident right. We're like, you know, we would typically say, like, if you have one belief, that's one step away from perfect libertarianism. You're not a real libertarian. And then even like Christian nationalists, I think like when I look at like these three groups, it almost seems like they're just incredibly idealistic, because like with Christian nationalists, I think that they think they're going to get to like their Eastern Orthodox Christian nationalism tomorrow. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. If you get any kind of major Christian revival in the U.S., it's going to be fervently Zionist and backed by the state, and anybody who doesn't fall in line is going to be subject to punishment. And that means Eastern Orthodox Christians and Christians who don't fall in line with dispensationalism. Dissident right-wingers, the race stuff, I think is retarded, because mostly people marry within their own race, and then you're not a real libertarian. Well, okay, nobody cares. So it just shit drives me nuts.
Yeah, no, it is. It's wild. And I don't know like how I would feel about that with like, do I think that it's heading in a direction where like everything, I mean, it's already like we're already in a spot where like the government is just like blindly trusted, and the government is like largely endorsed by like, you know, Israeli entities and PACs and stuff like that. I know that all that stuff is happening, and I know that like things like Christians United for Israel is a huge organization, and they basically have, you know, the full support of every like hyper evangelical church that exists. Mm-hmm. Like you got people like John Hagee that are down there in Texas just like preaching about Israel and the second coming of Jesus nonstop, and how we need to like be Israel's savior, even though none of that stuff is actually in the Bible. But it's wild, because what that kind of rhetoric does, it does allow you to rally behind a cause, which is your faith, and that is what really ties it to the nationalism. So like these people are already patriotic, they already love their country, but a lot of them have also already bought into the fact that there's only one side. They think that only one side of the government is capable or able to save them.
Well, yeah, one thing that I think is really important about what you said there is that they're tying it into people's faith. And mm-hmm. when we're talking about religious beliefs, understandably so, they're very, very deep and personal to people. So, I mean, like we're talking about things that like people base their whole lives and whole cultures around. When you kind of center that with like government policy, you're talking something that people will likely die for. I mean, we see this once again with Muslims and other people whenever they get religion deeply intertwined to government. And like, I don't know where to really fall on this, just because I don't know what would work best, but like
the convert or die thing, dude, like it has never gone away. Like, it's always been here. There's always been that side of like a lot of different ideologies. Like, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm in some crazy group chats. Some of them are not so crazy, but like, I am in a couple, like, you know, religious based group chats, you know, but like, even in there, so, like, sometimes it'll get to the point where they're like, you know, like, someday it's going to be convert or die. And there's going to be this side of the church that, and it's like, there's all kinds of denominations in there. So like, you know, take that for what you will. But like, I mean, if you think about it, like, the Crusades obviously was a big one, but Muslims have this convert or die thing like all the time right now. But there was also a period of time where like the Catholic Church literally had an army, like they literally had like a basically like a police like a blockade at the Vatican in Italy. And but like they like, I don't know, if have you studied like Machiavelli? Because like, that's like a huge thing, like with the Machiavellians. Like, if you ever get a chance to read Machiavellians, The Defenders of Freedom, one of my favorite books ever. But it really talks about like all the movement of stuff, like politically at that time, political strategy, but also like how like the Catholic Church and like religious stuff kind of tied into a lot of it back then. I do think that something like that's possible. Like, I think that like, you know, we're, the difference is that a lot of people are actually walking away from their faith in Christianity. I see it going both directions. You have one like group of people that's really flocking towards the church. Then you have the other one that's basically saying, I can't believe we wasted so many years on all of this teaching. Right. And these polar sides are going towards their own faith. Right. Like, which is like their own, their politics. The problem is that their politics are tied to their faith, which whether their faith is atheism or whatever, like it's their, each side is like really like has their own agenda. They have their own Bible that they're studying and they are tying together and they're in polar opposite. So we are like, I do think that like we're in for some kind of clash at some point with that. But like, like I said, I'm not like a political strategist. Like I'm not going to predict anything here. I hope that whatever happens in the future is nonviolent. I just like, I've seen history too many times to like say, like, I don't think that, you know, I do think that like, there's probably going to be some kind of violence that happens in the future that, I don't know. I hope not, but
yeah. Right. Well, like when I talked to Andrew Wilson, which I love his wife. I'm 50-50 on him, whatever. One of the things that he said, and people can go back and listen to the show that him, Jacob, and I did together, where he said that you would pass speech laws on Christianity. And if he's listening or somebody sends it over to him, feel free to drop in the comments and correct me. But it seems to me when you make speech laws, then it's almost like you're... What happened to most kids when they were told you cannot smoke weed, don't ever smoke weed, don't drink alcohol, don't do this, don't do that? There's some kids who probably listened, but I'm going to say the majority of kids realize, hey, I'm going to fuck around and I'm going to find out. Like, most of them turned out okay.
Yeah.
When you make speech laws around stuff and you start banning stuff, I think there is a faction of people, even if it is like objectively bad, I think there's still a faction of people that are like, all right, what, you know, what's so controversial about this? Why is this so bad?
Then I mean, everyone's super like hypersensitive these days too. And like, you know, like I'm always going to be under the idea that you can't legislate morality. Morality is always kind of like, a lot of times it's influenced by where you're surrounded, like your surroundings. For some people, like, I do think that there's certain things that like everyone probably should agreed on, but like obviously that's just not how it is. And you know, when it comes to you know, especially like with things like abortion and stuff like that, you know, like there really doesn't seem to be a lot of people that you know, some people I guess might talk about like the nuance and stuff, but like for the most part it's a pretty polar thing. Like people will literally vote one direction just because of what certain things are being spun about the other person and on abortion. You know, like the only thing I was asked for when I ran for sheriff a few years ago was what my opinion on abortion was, even though I can't do anything about abortion as a sheriff. So like people actively didn't vote for me because I said I don't think the government should be involved with any of those decisions. But
yeah, but it's funny because you're actually like, you're personally pro-life, right?
Yeah, like absolutely. And like, you know, I would never want to see like an aborted kid. And I don't think that that should be a thing, like ever. Yeah. And I definitely do judge people that do it. And I think that some people that use it as basically birth control are just plain evil. I think they're just evil people. Sure. You know, I don't think that that's okay. Now I just don't think that the government, I don't believe in law. So like for me to suggest that I think that like something should be banned, I think that that would be hypocritical. Right. I think private law can exist and you can live in like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to get into this silly niche about like covenant communities and stuff because it's all like stupid.
It kind of goes back.
It's never going to happen. Right. So I have to live in reality. And my reality is that we live in this huge system. And I still don't believe that the government should be influencing all these decisions over people's lives. I think that like when the federal government stays out of it, at the very least, let the states decide, because that's pretty much, you know, what, you know, Trump allowed to happen after his last term. He did like kind of help put things in that spot. But like at the same time, you know, like in New Hampshire, it's in the Constitution. Here that it's protected that you can have abortions, but you go a few states over, it is banned. I can't remember. I think it's still banned in Pennsylvania. Am I wrong? Or
no, I'm pretty sure it's
okay. Maybe we need to go a little bit further than a few states from New Hampshire, but like, you know, like Indiana, probably, it's probably banned in Indiana, but, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of like it's just not possible to legislate morality. You can try, but, people are just gonna do what they want. It's like trying to ban guns, man. Like obviously that works real good. Banning drugs, that works real good, you know.
Yeah, all that stuff always seems to work out in our favor. But no, it's I was thinking about this when you were saying about morality, but it kind of almost is a choice. Is paradoxical as that almost sounds. If there's no pressure on you to do the right thing, then is it really the right thing? Sometimes sure, but you know, I think that morality oftentimes does kind of stem from choosing to do the right thing when, you know, you could easily do the wrong thing, but you know that like, hey, this cost me something and I'm going to choose to do the right thing regardless of, you know, the consequences, which sounds pretty abstract, but like at the end of the day, really, even if people want to say, you know, you get morality from divine command, eventually all morality is subjective, because we're still talking, even if you are religious, you still can't prove that your God exists one way or the other. And I'm not saying that in a way of like, ha ha, fuck you, you're spaghetti monster, whatever. I'm saying that as in, this is still subject to your personal belief and your personal interpretation of that belief, because there's probably two people who would consider themselves, you know, Protestants or something like that, that would have a completely different interpretation of scripture. So
yeah. Oh, dude, like if you have 20 people in a room and you all read the same set of five verses, they're all going to give you a different interpretation. It's all based on like your perspective. I think that's actually how the Bible was meant to be written and how it's supposed to be read, is through the lens of its reader. Yeah. And I think that like, you know, in terms of like, I know that you're not a person of faith necessarily, but I do think that like in terms of Christianity, I think that everyone gets convicted, is what it's called, of different things in different ways. And I think that if you act against your convictions that you're given, I think that that's wrong for you to do. Like for instance, I'm drinking some alcohol right now. I don't think it's wrong. I think that like it's something that throughout history people have drank alcohol, and if you do it responsibly, I think it can be fine to do. However, I do think that for some people who are just like mentally convicted that it is so wrong to do it, I think it could be like, you know, stumbling block to those people if they were to like, I don't know, like if they were to have like a beer or something like that, that would be wrong for them to do because they're like genuinely convicted that they don't want to do it. I think that they should, you know, live according to how they're, and I'm not saying that because like, you know, some people like might not be convicted that some murder is okay or something like that. Cause like, that's crazy. Like I said, there's certain things that like we have to agree on, like murder is not okay. But like, for instance, like, but in this situation, at least if I was going over to that person's house that doesn't believe in, you know, like is super convicted against drinking, I'm not going to drink in front of them probably. You know what I mean? It's still my choice if I want to or not, but like, you know, I would feel wrong if I was like tempting them to do it.
Yeah, you'd feel like you were disrespecting them. And this kind of, I'd like to bring things to the nutrition realm because this is kind of like where it's most familiar with me, and then maybe like automotive stuff too. But like, when it comes to diet, I try to think of things as in like guidelines, like, hey, you probably want to avoid stuff that's like covered in oil, fried, or a bunch of added sugars. This kind of what, like when you're talking about the way that people have their convictions, it almost seems to me like you're saying like people should follow their life guidelines. Like, hey, for you, alcohol, right? Alcohol, it like there is no physical health benefit to alcohol, right? That's just objectively by most scientific literature true. But the social benefits, you know, like you're gonna have a better time with people, and sometimes it's just fun to fucking get loud, rowdy, and drink a beer with somebody. Like, that's just genuinely enjoyable. So the guideline is, you don't drink a beer just to drink a beer. You drink a beer because, like, hey, I want to share this with somebody. I want to cool down after a long day, but I'm not going to go and drink, you know, a 20-pack of Miller High Life every single night.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
One here, there is fine. I think that's kind of what I'm getting.
Everything fine in moderation, I think. And, you know, I mean, I think there'd be more of an argument that alcohol had health benefits like hella long ago, like insane, like a couple thousand years ago, because like people would drink wine because of, you know, it, you know, help the fermentation would help with their stomach and digestion.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, but like, and it was also way cleaner than their water. So, you know, there, I would say that like, but now today we have clean drinking water. Alcohol is like, not just like fermented wine, like it's super alcoholic. So you really do have to consider the health benefits there. And, you know, I spent 3 years sober. I had gone down this path of like, where I was like, basically I could see myself becoming a raging alcoholic. And, I didn't like where I was hungover every day. Or even, you know, sometimes like showing up at work, you know, still like maybe buzzed or something like that. This was like back in my, you know, mid to early 20s. And it was like just taking me down a dark path. And, you know, I quit cold turkey. I started going to some like classes, you know, to try to get over that. And, you know, I honestly, like my whole life changed. It did help me get a lot healthier, and I could feel removing that from my, you know, my regular use, you know, almost, I would say almost instantly. Like, you know, at first it was like you kind of groggy, but really like after a couple of weeks, you just feel like you have more energy. But yeah, like it's like these alcohol has no, like at this point, no actual health benefit. Like there's really nothing you can say. It's literally like a social beverage. In fact, like most alcohol tastes like shit. You're drinking it to get fucked up. Right. So like we can all just be honest about that. Like, especially fucking wine. Who the hell enjoys wine, dude? I'm just kidding. There's some people out there that have cats and shit that like that, but
yeah, I can't say I found a wine that I really, really like. I'm sure there probably is one out there, but I don't know. Just like that dry, you drink it and it's just like, it completely dries out your mouth to me. that was never fun. My mom used to drink that bagged wine. I remember I'm like, how the fuck do you drink this shit? That's awful. It's so
gross, dude. Yeah. It's so nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I drink Crown, you know, straight up on the rocks, and like I enjoy that. It wouldn't be something that I'm like mainlining, but like just sipping whiskey, enjoyable. Yeah. But mainlining shit, doing shots is like, all right, this is a little bit much for me, man. But yeah, man, you know, it's all right to get fucked up every once in a while. You know, I'm definitely not above it. Sometimes I get drunk and then I wake up the next day. I'm like, you know, I act like a real asshole and I feel really bad about myself, but I'm just going to try not to do that again.
Yeah, man. Like I, at this point, like, you know, I'm not drinking for sure. I'm not drinking regularly. Like I'm, you know, expecting a kid soon and I work all the time and I have a lot of projects that occupy a lot of my time. I don't really have time to go out and like drink with friends or party, stuff like that. I don't really party a lot anyway, but you know, it, for instance, like obviously Brandy can't drink at all. So if I go out and I have like, I don't know, like what normally used to be like two or three drinks. Now I'm getting like horrible headaches when I wake up in the morning because it's like, I haven't been used to drinking as much as I used to, you know? So I don't know. I think I'll probably stay on this, like, you know, drink very minimal. I'll drink like a, with podcasts and stuff, but
yeah,
no, I don't get fucked up or anything. So,
so one of the things that was happening recently that I figured we would cover was the topic of male only spaces. So my thought on this is that the last job I worked at, we had one woman in the shop and it was an odd dynamic because what I noticed is that the older guys couldn't seem to let her do her own thing. And it seems like what happens is as soon as a woman gets into a male space, and just like there's specific things that I think should be for guys only, but as soon as a woman kind of gets into the space, and she chose to go to this job, and I was saying she shouldn't have been allowed to work there, but guys start to trip over themselves to help her out rather than just saying like, hey, you're an autonomous person who is responsible for themselves, their own actions, like this, you're just like the rest of us. Guys can't seem to not step on their own dick and virtue signal that they're here from a lady. That's why I think that, like, you know, sports stuff, generally, I like that as male only spaces. My band, I have a female friend band. I love Jen dearly. I would never say she'd be gay kept from music. She's awesome. You know, we have a good time together. Right. But like there's certain stuff, you know, like once again, my job, I wouldn't want to work with a woman directly. We have like female service advisors or warranty administrators and shit like that. But like actually the day-to-day stuff that we do, I'd prefer it if we didn't have a woman in the shop. So I don't know if you necessarily disagree. I think you and I may have talked about this very, very briefly before, but I kind of wanted to talk about this whole meta of like male only workplaces and male only spaces, and like gaming spaces would be another thing where I think it's like, it's kind of weird for women. Like, you know, back when we were kids, I work
construction. So it's like, you know, over the last 12 to 14 years that I've been doing this, now I'm at the part where like I'm in management. So I get to go in the office and obviously there's definitely women in the office, but like when you're out in the field, like I think that there's maybe been two women that have ever been hired in the whole time that I've been doing this. And I've hired a lot of people. And for the most part, they don't hack it. They kind of weed themselves out. There are spaces. I do think that there's certain jobs that men are just better at. They're kind of more designed for us to take care of. And I mean, you know, I'm sure you can find some like, you know, Hulk looking butch lady that can lift a pile of logs or something like that, man. But like, truthfully, like I don't know. I was also in the infantry and like, honestly, that's a lot of stuff too. That's like, there's a, you know, there was a big dilemma back in 2011 when I was in, they were talking about removing the restriction for women to join the infantry because before that they weren't allowed. And they did end up leaving it. And I don't know how many women even sign up for infantry nowadays, but you know, I still am under the opinion that women shouldn't be in the infantry. I think that like, guys should protect women. I don't even think that's controversial to say. I think that we should just like look after our ladies. And I don't think it's wrong that like there's a battlefield. They should be standing behind us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that they should be up front. And I've seen multiple times too, like women cops going into violent situations, they can't handle it because they're going up against a big, strong guy. And like, you know, the same thing can happen to a little scrawny cop. But it just doesn't happen that often. It's usually a small, scrawny woman who's getting, you know, thrown around or, you know, taken advantage of by some big guy who doesn't want to follow the law. So there's certainly jobs there that are probably meant to be guy only. Now, in terms of like male spaces, I do know for a fact, because I'm part of some of them, there are spaces that are male only. Like, I'm not a Freemason, but I know Freemasons are still the actual, to be a Mason, you have to be male. There's women that will be at the halls, at the Masonic temples. You know, they have women there. Like, there's, you know, cooks, people who clean. But if you want to be a Mason, you have to be a man. And this is like probably one of the biggest fraternities in America, obviously, or at least throughout our history. And I don't know if I even have an interest in being a Mason, but like there's that space. But then, you know, I get it. There's also like, you know, people, I see a lot of people complaining online, and I'm going to be honest with you. I am looking into the idea of potentially creating a male only space with some of my friends who want to just shoot the shit, play with guns, learn how to do bushcraft and go out in the woods and like learn how to hunt and fish and do all this stuff. Like, some of us are good in their own ways. Like, I've been a lifelong hunter. I can show some of these guys how to hunt. You know, someone else is good at bushcraft. Like, we kind of like want to start this like group of people. It's going to be male only. I'm taking the initiative to get that going, probably, you know, and I don't see a lot of actual initiative happening for people who like to complain about there's not enough male spaces. Now, I do get the complaints of the fact that like there's a lot of laws that are like anti-discrimination laws. And I think that's where the controversy comes into play. You know, the anti-discrimination laws are, they exist, but I'm coming to understand that there are loopholes to get around some of them. That are inconvenient, but I also I'm an anarchist. I don't think these laws should exist. Obviously, the fact that everyone was bringing up like the Boy Scouts, constantly bringing up the Boy Scouts, how like it's just the Scouts now, and but they don't want to talk about how they got there was not, you know, necessarily because a lot of women wanted to join. Their membership was severely declining. They were getting sued into oblivion, and they had, Brandy showed me this, it pulled up all the stats, 86,000 people suits against, the Scouts for 86,000 men that are getting paid out from sexual assault lawsuits. Whoa, I was like 8,600. Cool. No, she said 86,000, 86 with three zeros after it. And I was like, that's insane. Okay. So like, there's a lot of reasons that the Scouts failed, the Boy Scouts failed. It wasn't just because like women were trying to be included and stuff like that. There's a lot of shit that was going on there. But I do see it happening all the time. People will like sue because they feel like they're being discriminated against, and 25% of the time, they're probably going to win that lawsuit. It totally depends on the judge and the jury and the executioner that day. But, I think that like it's very possible to have male only spaces today. I just don't think that there's a lot of drive to have it or initiative on behalf of the people that want them to make it happen. That, I don't know. That's just my opinion, but I could be wrong. I mean, people can show me stuff and send me stats. Like, it doesn't matter to me because I live my own life. And if I want something, I'll go get it myself, I'll make it, you know? So
yeah, dude, I'm the same exact way. I actually really like that idea of kind of make your own, as gay as it sounds, kind of boys club, where it's just like, hey, you know, dude, it's just us, you know, hey, you know, sorry, Brandy, or, you know, in my situation, hey, sorry, Sarah, you're staying home for this, but me and the guys are going to go out. We're going to go to a metal concert and we're just going to fucking dude out, right? We're going to go drink some drinks and we're going to go fucking scream our lungs out to go see Slayer, Lamb of God or something. And we're just going to have a good time. That's just going to be us. It's just going to be dudes. This is what we want to do. Because what do we do when we were kids? Right. Everybody would come over. We would say, all right, well, we're going to do a LAN party. Right. That's probably showing my age, you know, back in the fucking early 2000s, everybody would hook you'd run cables all through the fucking house, and you'd have two TVs, one upstairs, one downstairs. Everybody would have a controller, and you'd hear each other screaming all through the house. It was all dudes. We'd all sit there and drink our Mountain Dew and call each other faggots and asshole and hard all this other stuff.
I'll be honest. Like, and I don't think that like, this is like necessarily the common thing, but maybe it is. Maybe you're in the same spot. Like, I feel like I found a unicorn because like Brandy would love for me to go out and find like something like that where I can just like be like, you know, yeah. like in a club with a bunch of dudes, like just like hang out, you know, like she's not like, it's not like she would try to insert herself into that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whereas like, I think a lot of the other complaints I was seeing is that like people will get into these clubs and then it doesn't take long before they start inviting their girlfriends along or their wives along or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, you know, they're not, there's little things that they'll like kind of push their way in and they don't end up being, I don't know. I can see it. I see both sides.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I said, though, it just takes the want to keep something male only or whatever. I think that there's ways you can get around these discrimination laws for sure. I don't know really what they are necessarily off the top of my head, but I've heard that there's ways to get around them. You just have to like say things the right way. It's just politics. You know what I mean? Like that's all it is.
It's fake and gay.
It is
for me. And you know, maybe like, I don't really think about this and maybe this is why I'm glad I was kind of out of the shit storm today because I put the tweet up. I'm like, all my friends are arguing today. You're all retards, but you're all my retards. maybe like for me, it just kind of blows past me because like I've worked in the automotive field and you know, you work construction, but you said you're in the office now. I'm still, you know, I just got a brand new toolbox. That's enormous. So like, you know, what's the first thing that everybody says as soon as they see my new toolbox in the shop? Oh, look, who's making all the money. Oh, you got the biggest toolbox in the shop now. Look. Yeah. So, I mean, as soon as I walk in the door, they're busting my balls and they know all my lines. I know all their lines. And
yeah,
the general gist is we will fuck with one another relentlessly. I mean, if you're in the bathroom at a certain time and we got a firecracker, guess what? You better make sure your pants are high up enough that they're not going to catch fire because we're throwing some underneath the fucking stall. I mean, that's just how we do stuff. So, I mean, I've always had kind of had that male space where we just grind each other to shreds. Maybe there are guys out there who don't really have something like that where they feel like they're, I don't want to say like missing out, but like they feel like this, they could use something like that. Maybe, you know, because we're so disconnected now, although we're connected like this, like what we're doing right now, but like in person, they don't have somewhere they go to be just with dudes, you know? So like, I don't know, for me, not that I'm lacking this kind of male companionship, but like, you know, sometimes my brother and I will just hang out or I'll just message him and talk about video game stuff. And then, like I said, my workplace is a strong male only kind of place. So I don't know if maybe some of these guys just don't have a situation like that or what.
I'm sure that they do, man. I mean, I honestly like, but we also all have to realize that there's also a lot of people who are just chronically online. They just like to complain and they'll never actually, like they might complain, oh, there's no such thing as male spaces, but they've literally never left their basement. Do you know what I'm saying? Like technically they're in a male only space because they're the only male in their basement. Right. But like, you know, this, it's just true. You know, like people get burned, but like, there's a lot of incels out there that just literally will just like complain on the internet nonstop. They'll never take any initiative for themselves to get out of the house. And I know a lot of friends like this that aren't even in that, like that headspace, but like, you know, they don't want to leave to even go to a concert with you, you know, or go get coffee or grab a beer. You know, they just want to stay in their basement and maybe play video games all day. And I think that's actually how a lot of that conversation started, was because they were talking about like male only spaces in video games. And the conversation went 15 different directions. Like, ultimately, I think what most people were complaining about was the fact that, you know, developers were being, it's not so much the gaming community, because I think that like, I don't think guys mind gaming with women. It's the developers that are like inserting all kind of like woke stuff into the games.
I am stoked to tell you guys about the show's new sponsor. I am now working with MTS Nutrition, which is a brand that I've believed in for a very long time, and they run awesome cells and they have awesome products. So I want to tell you about their amazing protein powder, which you're going to ask me how many pounds I have of the protein powder, and the answer is all of them. So here I got red velvet cake, 25 grams of protein, and they have the amino acids and everything on there, 59 servings. Peanut butter fluff, fluffer nutter, 26 grams of protein, and then also the chocolate chip cookie, which literally has real pieces of chocolate chip cookie in there. So 27 grams of protein, 180 calories. As I've talked about on the show, getting your protein in is very, very important. So make sure you hit that link below and purchase your protein powder through MTS Nutrition. Boom!
And
they're pandering to women rather than the people that are actually buying the games. And I think it's a reasonable complaint, but it's not necessarily a function of the space. Is more of the function of the developers kind of forgetting who pads their wallets. And I've complained about this for a long time. And like, I'm like, I get why people complain about the woke stuff. I do too. But like, at the end of the day, you could still have some woke stuff in there. Not that I would say put it in there just to put it in there, but like, you could still enjoy everything else around it. Like, there's a game, Biomutant, that I played where it had like some woke stuff because it was like a game about a planet being destroyed. And like, they had some, if I remember correctly, I think they had some like gender stuff, but like, the game was still fun to play. And then Mass Effect Andromeda, everybody complained because like, you could be gay, and then the one character was gay, and you know, of course, there were black characters and all this other stuff, and you could tell that they were kind of going for this LGBTQ stuff or whatever. The game was still enjoyable, but some of that stuff I'm like, I could do without it, but like, the finished product is still good enough that I can enjoy it. But if it's at the point where like, the focal point is, you know, the main story is about your woman, you know, your character being a lesbian or something like that, it's like, all right, well, now we're jumping the shark at this point.
They do the same thing with movies all the time, right?
Yes.
I mean, so it's like, do I care that all the elves are white? No, I don't.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah. And I honestly, I didn't care that Little Mermaid ended up being black in this new one either. Like, honestly, mermaids don't exist. Maybe they are diverse, but a lot of people were really pissed that they made Ariel.
I forgot all about that.
Do you remember that? Like, it's ridiculous. But like, I mean, this is like, it's just the mindset, man. Like, everyone's trying to like please everybody, but you can't. Mm-hmm. And you know, when it comes to like, especially like fiction stuff, I don't think there's any need to insert a bunch of like woke stuff. Like, unless it's like, honestly, an original concept from the developer or from the artist that's making it, and that's what they want. There is a lot of influence from outsiders. I mean, we see that in every kind of politics, movies, games, the Congress, obviously, you know, but like, it's everywhere. While I see the argument, people want their space. I think the space is there. I just think there's not a lot of initiative. And then in certain situations like this, you know, money where your mouth is type of thing. Like, if you're really against something, stop buying it. Right? Like, they'll learn that they fucked up. Disney's done this multiple times where they've had a movie bomb, then they stopped adding stuff like that into the movies in some cases. Now, I mean, I don't know if they've necessarily stopped, but I will say that like, they've certainly taken a lot of budget cuts lately because they're not making money as much
The Acolyte got canceled after one season. And you know what's funny is like, everybody talked about how woke that show was. And I don't know how familiar you are with all like the Star Wars series, but
I like Star Wars.
Okay, yeah. The Acolyte was one of their live action series, and like, it was enjoyable. The main characters was a set of black twins, black female twins, and they were raised by witches, and it was like an all-female covenant. And like, really, I could see where people would kind of bend themselves to say, oh, look how woke this is. But I mean, like, I don't know. It really wasn't like, they weren't focused on like the sexuality of the people. It was like a female witch covenant that they just raised girls, and they wanted to become Jedi or something like, or the one wanted to become a Jedi. And it all kind of worked out. I'm like, this really wasn't like bad. I mean, it wasn't the best thing they ever did, but I don't see why they like canceled, why everybody fucking blew a gasket. You have like this woke and anti-woke stuff.
Some of it is subliminal, right? Like, you don't really notice some of it, but like, some of it probably was implemented with the idea of like, oh, we need to like be more inclusive or something like
that. There's a subtext to it.
But like, there's also times where it's just blatantly intentional. Like, I saw this thing just this last week. I think it was like maybe a Marvel movie that they're making or one of their series is. It's like a show. And Aubrey Plaza's in it. And I think Aubrey Plaza's hot. So like, I pay attention when she's talking. You know what I mean?
All right. Hold on. Aubrey Plaza. Okay. Yeah. She's one of the first ones.
And someone was interviewing her and was like, you know, I heard this movie's going to be pretty gay. like, you know, talking about like, you know, like gay, like homosexual stuff. And she's like, oh, this is going to be the gayest one that they've done yet. And this is why I signed on to it. And like, literally, that's what she said. It was like, that is just blatant. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but that's what I mean. It's like nobody really cares. Like, there's probably a loud minority somewhere who's saying we want more representation of gay, lesbian. But like, if at least
who asked
for
a gay Marvel character, who's doing it? We already had Captain Marvel. That didn't go well.
Wasn't that female Captain or whatever?
Nobody. I think what's her name? I think Brie Larson, something like that. Nobody liked that movie. Movie bombed. Yeah. It's horrible.
That's what I mean. Anyway. Like, nobody's really asking for this kind of stuff. So I do think it goes back to, you know, some of the conspiracy stuffs about ESG or DEI. I know ESG kind of went away and now everybody's jumping up and down about DEI, but basically they're just trying to say, look how woke we are. And maybe that gives them some better standing with some financial company who says, oh, look, you're putting out our message, so therefore we're going to give you a loan, or we're going to look at you more favorably. But it's so fucking stupid. Like, especially when it comes to like gaming stuff, though, it's like your main, the whole Gillette commercial, this is what that reminds me of, is like, you're doing this like, whoa, bro, toxic masculinity commercial. It's like, you realize like guys shave, like men, not women, men. So why are you pandering to people who don't buy your product? It's like Trump fucking trying to market himself to all the black people. It's like, I'm sorry, but black people generally don't vote Republican. And like, I mean,
every politician does this, right? Like, I mean, obviously Kamala Harris, like, she is a different person for every person she gets in front of. She'll have a different accent now, apparently. Right. But even Joe Biden a couple years ago, like, if you don't vote for Joe Biden, you ain't black.
Well, yeah, Trump's campaign now is if you don't vote for me, then you ain't Jewish. But like, I even saw Vivek Ramaswamy. He was in front of a crowd. He was trying to throw on the Southern twang. I wish I could find the video, but he was somewhere and he was doing, I'm like, oh, I get it. And that's because you want to mirror these people, right? You want them to feel like you're a part of them.
One of us.
That's what people want, is they want to know that, hey, I'm represented. But the fact is that, like, if they're not like in your direct vicinity or like culture, the best you're going to do is, hey, maybe they understand you and have empathy, but like, they're not one of you. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's not. It just kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true. And I mean, ultimately, like, I think that we all voluntarily interact with each other for the most part. So we can choose whatever communities we're a part of, whatever we want to put in front of us. Like, if we don't want to consume Disney, like, I don't watch Disney movies anymore. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of this stuff is optional consumption. A lot of the groups that we're a part of or not a part of is a choice. In some cases, you know, maybe you're like out in the boonies of nowhere, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on. Like, maybe you don't have the opportunity to like go and create some kind of group, because there's just not that many people or not that much interest. But like, you know, for the, like, even in those kind of situations, like, the internet is a lovely place sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's a tool that you can use to try to connect with people and find something or try to do something that you want to do. If you're stuck in a spot where you don't have anything, I honestly think that's your fault.
Yeah. Like,
it honestly is.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I've thrown out this tweet a few times, but like, happiness at the end of the day, generally is a choice, because you can choose whether or not to be miserable about shit. Like, there have definitely been times where I have every single reason in the world to be miserable, but though I just choose, like, ah, nah, you know what? Not going to beat me down. And I understand like people's temperaments are different, but for me, man, I'm a pretty positive, upbeat, calm person. It's pretty hard to throw me off kilter, and I have a good enough life, a good enough situation with all the people I know offline, online, and everything, that I really find it hard to be ever, you know, sincerely fucked off at life. But, you know, if you're in a position where you feel like you're sincerely fucked off at life, to your point, it's probably your fault, and you should think about that.
Yeah. I mean, if you really are in a spot of your life where you, I don't know, live around a lot of people, you go to a job every day, you go out and into the world and you actually interact, and you're still alone and you have no friends and you're miserable and you're complaining all the time about like how like life sucks and you have nothing to do, like, that's probably on you, bro. It probably is. There's probably something out there. You probably do have people you could, it's just about initiative. Maybe you're too, you know, introverted to want to talk to people, but like even introverts can have friends, man. Like that's what Discord is for. So
Jesus. Well, I think that's probably as good of a spot to wrap as any. Ben, what gives you hope for the future? Where can people find you? All that good stuff. Let's start off. What are you optimistic about?
What am I optimistic about? I'm optimistic about, I don't know. Like, I think that, for the most part, I don't trust politics. I think my life is going to keep going just the same way that it is right now, for the next couple of years. And, I've got a kid on the way, so I'm stoked about that. You know, I've got a lot of plans. I have like a nonprofit I'm launching, a book that I'm writing, all kinds of stuff for me to be hopeful about. So, you know, and it doesn't matter if they're successful or not, but they're mine. It's something I wanted to do. So I went and chased it. I'm doing it. I initiated it. You know, I don't see a lot of politics in my future, immediate future, at least, probably stepping away for quite a bit of that. But other than that, like, I don't know. My life is going to be fine. I don't take Twitter to heart. So, you know, there's a real life out there that I'm experiencing. So, you know, I think things are going pretty good.
Nice, man. Good to hear. Where can everybody find you?
At the Emo ANCAP on Twitter. And then I have my show, Shut the Punk Up, Wednesdays and Sundays. You can find that on every streaming channel, YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey, all of it. It's on Twitter too, Twitch. Shut the Punk Up is the place to go. Check it out. Got some cool guests coming up, including some mutual friends of ours. Should be a good time. So
for sure. Yeah. This is going to air the 23rd. So, the 23rd. All right. Well, yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I feel like it'd been a long time since I was trying to see what number podcast it was, but it was called the last episode we did together was the Emo Caucus and Rock and Roll. I think that was the last one. And that was low 200s, I want to say. So this will be episode 347, I think.
Dude, at this rate, you're going to be like Tom Woods hitting that 1,000 in no time. You better throw a huge party when you do it too.
Yeah, you know, that would be pretty awesome. My dream is one day to have Zach Wild on. I think that's like, now that I've had Dave Smith, James Sexton, all these big people on, I want to sit down with the boss himself. I want to sit down with fucking Zach Wild and just be like, man, how you fucking doing?
Do it, man. Do it. Chase hopefully. It. You got it, man. Right. Make it happen.
Nice, nice. Yeah, hopefully. Ben, I appreciate you coming on, brother. And I think with that, we'll call her a night.
All right. Thanks, man.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.